flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Are you hungry?
Good thing, because it's time for your weekly slice of Tres Leches, served as a podcast, your new favorite auditory treat where the zest of Latino culture meets the effervescence of queer narratives. With your hosts, Johnny, Ian, and Juan. Enjoy.
Are we recording?
Oh, yes, we are.
Hello, everybody. Happy New Year to you. It is 2024. Can you believe it? I can't believe it. I really can't. And yet here we are. It is so good to be back with you for another edition of Tres Leches, served from our hearts into your home. Yes. How are you, Johnny and Ian? How are you both?
We're good.
Ian is good.
It's just I'm laughing and people are going to be like, oh, Ian didn't take his ADHD medication or something.
Oh, my
Wait,
goodness.
Do you take ADHD medication?
No, but I should.
Oh, okay.
Well, where were we? For those of you who don't know, my name is Juan Torres Falcón. I am one of your hosts. I am so happy to be with you. And I am joined by two Miami All-Stars. Mm-hmm. Only to be outdone by Gloria Estefan and Pitbull. Johnny Sivui and Ian Padgett. Hello, my dears.
Hello. I was going to sing like Kimbara Kimbara, and I was like, that's the wrong one.
Kimbara Kimbara
Kimbara Kimbara Kimbara
Kimbara Kimbara Kimbara Kimbara Kimbara Kimbara Although probably more identified with Cuba, is a Miami icon as well. There's Celia Cruz way.
Yeah.
Babes, it's 2024. Yeah. How are you feeling so far?
You know, I'm actually feeling pretty good. I'm feeling rested. I feel rejuvenated from kind of spending New Year's in Nicaragua. And then I got some really good family time. And so my whole like Miami weekend and when we saw each other, like that was just so nice. It felt really, really nice. I loved our day together. And for those listening, like Johnny was in Florida for his family moment and Juan and I were in Miami and we all met and we just had this like day where we just hung out and it was so nice. And watching Juan try to parallel park was the most entertaining thing ever.
Oh my God.
Just, you know, that was a Christmas gift in and of itself.
Yeah.
And, but I'm just
and
really happy
I was
to be here.
Parallel parking until then.
No, you were. It was just, it was the, you know,
performance anxiety.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Anxiety. Yes, exactly.
Yeah. I will say it was such a nice way to end 2023, like with family, with the people I care about, with you guys going to Austin to see Joe and Jeremy and stay with them, with Finn and the other dogs. Just really, a really nice way to wrap up 2024, I think.
Yeah. How was your New Year's in Austin?
It was wonderful. I mean, I was joking. Jeremy, Joe, and I were joking that we had like had FOMO seeing everyone in Brazil.
Jeremy, Joe, and I,
JJ and Jay.
JJ and Jay.
Were laughing at everyone in Brazil and in Puerto Vallarta and Miami. You know how the gays are. They're, you know, so unique in their choices of destination. So, I mean, you guys were. You went to Nicaragua, which I feel like uncharted territory
for the
Queens.
That was unique.
It was unique. It was really, really. It was nice.
Exactly.
It was. I have to say, like, I want us all to go. I want us to do like a week there, and we just do like a week of podcasting, a full day, and we just, you know,
we have a travel show.
Tres Leches on the road.
Oh my God, in Managua, it would be amazing.
Tres Leches
actually.
To go.
That is marketing genius.
Oh my God. I really like that. I have to say too, I don't know if you guys feel the same way when you travel, but you know, I always come back and I want to keep the Ian that is who he is when he travels because he wakes up and he like doesn't check his phone as much. I'm not doing the same thing. My mind isn't like, oh, you can do those habits here, because I'm genuinely in awe of where I am. So I'm waking up. I'm like going to watch the sunset. I'm spending a little bit more time just like exploring, enjoying whatever view. Exactly. And because Nicaragua was a place I had never been to before and hadn't experienced, hadn't done volcanoes, there was a lot of newness happening, and it just felt kind of like child again, like when you went on your first vacations with your parents, you know?
Totally.
Mm-hmm. And it was like a good balance of activity and rest and a nice break from social media and like being on the phone in the way that I usually am, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, totally.
Well, you know, a little tease is, you know, we're going to be talking about social media today. So put a pin in that, because I'd love to unpack that a little bit more, like how it was to welcome the new year that way. And Johnny, I know you're doing a social media cleanse. Is that what you would call it?
Well, yeah, to be fair, it's an Instagram cleanse, not a social, like, because I have been on TikTok and X, formerly known as Twitter.
You know, baby, X has me in a chokehold. I can't get off that. I like it more now.
Oh my god.
Yeah.
That's bad. It's where the bad boys and girls go. And I deep down am part of the bad girls club. You know what I mean?
You are. Oh my god, you are.
Deep down.
I'm ready to fuck shit up.
Yeah.
Exactly. But deep down. I have to share, and I want to share with our listeners. I had a very sad thing happen to me at the beginning of the new year. I was with my sweet dog, my 12-year-old lab pit terrier mix named Diego. And he was in Florida with me for Christmas, and he just kind of quickly, his health really declined very quickly. And so he had to be, we had to put him to sleep. We had him put down on, January 7th, this past Sunday. So my New Year's Eve was spent with him. He was really sick that night, so I stayed in to take care of him. And that's when I really noticed that his condition declined. So that first week of 2024, I spent essentially with my ex, taking care of him, spending time. You know, we spoke to our vet, and they found cancer throughout his torso. I think she described it as a constellation of tumors across his over his lung and heart, a mass by his spleen, and it was developing very quickly. He had masses on the exterior on his body that were growing. I mean, it was just they kept calling it a cancerous event. Mm-hmm. And he was such a sweet, sweet dog. We adopted him when he was 2 years old. In Brooklyn, from an organization called Badass Brooklyn. He came from the South, and he was just a very stoic, solemn dog. He was not very warm or cuddly, but he was very loving and tender. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the vet said on January 1st, when I called in, she was like, if this is what he's showing, you know, I really suggest that you spend as much time with him this week as possible with your ex. And so I kind of moved in, not kind of, I did. I moved into my ex's apartment, and we spent the week together taking care of him and giving him the kind of cosplay of what his life was like when we were together, which, you know, I think was the time when he was most stable and calm. And get to give him that experience again for his last week was very, very sweet. It's something I will never forget. I'll never forget it. Being able Sweet to do that baby. For him, it was really nice, and it was healing for me too.
Absolutely.
I told Johnny and Ian this, that my ex, you know, I've gotten my punches in on this podcast, but that week with him was so healing because we were able to talk. You know how that week between Christmas and New Year's is kind of like this weird dead week anyway?
Yeah.
So we just kind of extended that energy into the new year. We just kind of continued that kind of holiday energy where we were working but not working and just talking about us and how much Diego meant to us and how much he was a representation of our love for each other and how much we care for each other still. And we talked about his new relationship and you know, my new quest for love and where we went wrong, what we did right. Mm. And we had someone come to the home. The pet euthanasia services came to us. We gave him kind of like the perfect weekend. When we adopted him, all those years ago, it was snowing, and it was snowing his last full day with us. So we got like a picture, you know, of his first day and his last day in the snow. And we gave him his favorite foods. Mm-hmm. And then on Sunday, the pet euthanasia people came, and on his bed at home with us, you know, as Johnny said to me, it brought me great comfort that the last two people he was going to see was us, Jack and I. Mm-hmm. And it feels cruel because he was only 12, but he had a very full life. And, you know, when mm-hmm. my grandfather died, he said something right before. He said that he was at peace because he had done everything he needed to do in this life. And he looked at me and he was like, I raised him. Look at my daughters. Mm. Look at my son. Because he did raise me. And so he was like, I did everything I needed to do. And that is something I took from, you know, from that very scary time when he was letting himself go. Mm-hmm. And I realized that Diego did a similar thing for us. Mm. He waited until he brought us back together so that Jack and I could have that time to kind of sew up some of the wounds that were left open from our breakup. Mm-hmm. And when he was ready, he told us. It was Sunday and it was perfect. Mm. The pet euthanasia people came and it was out of a dream. Mm. So quiet, so peaceful. And it was as elegant a death. It was a ceremony worthy of Cleopatra. It was solemn and quiet. He literally, they gave him the injection of the medication, and he literally passed out eating mac and cheese. He was licking up mac and cheese until his eyes closed. Is that not the sweetest thing? That's so beautiful. It was hard, but it was wonderful. After that, so that was January 7th. January 8th, I had a day of respite. Then the 9th is my birthday. And I woke up with a level of food poisoning, a comical level of food poisoning. Bridesmaid Jordan almonds shitting in the wedding dress level of food poisoning. Okay. Like, oh, as if God. I needed anything else. The vomiting. Yeah. I was praying. I wanted to be cremated. I said, I too need convalescence. I need them to come here and inject ketamine and morphine into my ass, and I need them to take me out. I needed to be taken out. Oh my God, but here nor there, we're here.
We made it.
But I was looking forward to this because this was going to be the real start. We were going to record early this week, but of course, with everything in my life, we had to put a pin in all of that. But I'm so looking forward to this episode because I'm reinventing myself in so many ways this year, starting life again. I consider it a very new chapter. And, you know, my birthday is the beginning of the new year, at the beginning of the year, obviously. My birthday is January 9th. And so I loved that we are kind of starting this new year together. We had our little first chapter, but this is really the year of Tres Leches, and I cannot wait to see where it goes with both of you.
Same.
So let's get to what we came to talk about today, which is social media. And I think this was today's topic, which, you know, was so beautifully dreamt up by Johnny. I'm going to read to you exactly what we're calling it. Disconnection for the sake of connection. How social media affects us all. And I think this was inspired because Johnny is, as we mentioned earlier, on this social media cleanse. Johnny, what inspired this cleanse? Tell me.
Well, it's always nice. I always think it's nice when, you know, you start something new. I love new beginnings. I love Mondays. I love a new project. I love, you know, I just love new friendships. I love everything new. And I love to rethink a lot of things in my life. And one of my biggest things in the past 2 years, I would say, is my relationship with social media. And how my relationships in my real life, I think, take a toll because I've put so much importance on the relationships I've made online. I mean, the internet has made me lots of money. The internet has introduced me to lots of wonderful friends, significant others. You know, it has been a really big part of my life, and I found community and love. But at some point, it started to take a turn where it became sort of a crutch for, you know, just a catch-all for every emotion that I had, whether if I was angry, if I was happy, if I was sad, I would rush to social media. If I was horny, you know, I wasn't going out to find the people I wanted to be with. I was going in to my device, hunched over in my screen. So I knew that the election year was coming up, 2024. I remember the election year 2016. I remember 2020. I remember the aftermath, the fallout of those things. And I just had like a That's So Raven moment where I was like, I need some sort of change. So this was just kind of I've done cleanses before. I've gotten off social media before. And every single time it feels like we're going from black and white to color. So it's just another exploration of what it would be like not only to be off for 30 days, but to then wean myself off of the amount that I use and maybe change some habits. So I spoke very candidly about it on my stories and stuff. And it was so surprising to me, surprising and not surprising as well, the amount of people that were like, oh my God, I need this too. Oh my God, I have such an issue with social media. Oh my God, I wish I could. That's what really was the impetus for it.
And I like you that. Know, you talk, be the change you want to see in the world.
Ian, what was the book that you both read? Dopamine Nation?
Dopamine Nation, Finding a Balance in the Age of Indulgence.
So here's my question. Yeah. We're not elder millennials, but we are millennials. We're the heart of it. We are the heart. Are we elder millennials? We might be.
No.
I don't want to, I won't take, we're close to it.
We're millennium plus.
Millennials 27 plus. Yeah. We are definitely that. So yeah, I mean, my Facebook account was active my senior year of high school. So my entire adult life. My entire adult life, Facebook has been a part of my life. Instagram, early adopter. But
remember MySpace. Remember MySpace.
True.
Yeah. I try to forget it, but yeah.
Yeah. And MySpace. So, yeah. Johnny, with some of this, I know you were saying like you went to social media to express yourself when you're angry, when you're sad, etc. But did you also find that you were using it kind of mindlessly?
Absolutely. One of the biggest things I notice when I do a cleanse or when I get offline is the knee-jerk reaction, the reflex to just pick up my phone and type in Instagram or look for Instagram just as a, it's just like, it's not even something I'm doing consciously. It's an unconscious thing that we do. Even up to, I've been off since truly December 31st at 12 o'clock. I deleted it from my phone. But even yesterday I picked up my phone. I think I was like in a situation or like in an environment where like we use it as like a crutch to be like, oh, I don't want to engage with whatever is happening in front of me. So I immediately picked up my phone. I'm like, oh God, I don't have Instagram on my phone right now. So it's become like this thing that even though I'm not consciously doing it, it's still happening. And I think that a lot of us, like sometimes I would be on the couch just on Instagram and then I would look up and it would be like 2 hours had passed. And I was like, what the fuck just happened? I was, and then, you know, Real Housewives is on the TV and I'm like, oh wait, I just missed like 30 minutes of that episode because I got lost in like a TikTok or a dissertation about, you know, whatever the fuck is going on in the world. Yeah. Does that happen to you guys?
I was actually just going to say that even in smaller moments that you don't really think about, but I'm aware of, is when I'm getting in an elevator. So like when I go to Hudson Yards and I go to the Equinox, I noticed these like in the last week how quickly when I got in an elevator and if someone came in and there's no awkwardness. It's not like I'm afraid to engage with them. There would be
no,
but I just noticed how we got in and there's this like way that it was just this knee jerk. Like you grab the phone to like give yourself something to do so that you seem like you have something to do. Like, wow. But it's like, baby, you just get in that elevator and like,
And
I have to literally be like, oh, there's nothing. And I just put it down and I look. And then sometimes it's so nice to kind of catch yourself. Mm-hmm. And then you go, well, let me look at the person who's in front of me or behind me. And then you like, look at that. You know, there's just this way that you go, why don't I look around me rather than in my phone to show that something's going on? Why don't I just have something going on? I know that's like so specific, but my mind. And that's where I notice there's the knee jerk. Open your phone reaction.
To your point about this kind of knee jerk, I have noticed something in myself in the last couple of years is that social media has become, you know, you are both still creating very actively. And I think that social media, it is a means to a very important end for many people's livelihoods. Social media is the way that people from freaking plumbers to A-list celebrities. People are using it to market themselves and to further their businesses, right? Mm-hmm. But I think at its most nefarious is where it's most perhaps most dangerous is the like just the non-creation time, but just the consumption time.
Correct.
When you're just eating
Correct.
And doing nothing. And I have had for the past, I want to say since like 2018, since I graduated from Columbia Journalism School, I've had a little bit of social media creation paralysis. I was so active in my early years of social media and good at it, kind of naturally good at it, that I started to become very insecure because it became like a rat race that I never felt like I was moving forward. Instead of continuing to create, I just stopped because I was afraid of putting myself out there.
Yeah.
But that did not keep me from consuming social media. For the past many years, the primary way that I have been using social media is just for knowledge, information, stimulus.
Right.
And the Instagram like abysses of life that I have missed of 30 minutes, an hour here, an hour there, have really gotten out of control. And I don't think I would have even paid that much attention to it if it hadn't been for your stories, talking about your cleanse. Mm-hmm. And then also realizing that when I had a little bit of time at home on the couch with the dog and everything, how much I was using it just to watch videos of mindless things. And I really knew that something was wrong when I was saving posts that I've already saved. And I didn't remember them. I was archiving them into folders and I was like, oh, I've already watched this.
Wow.
Police! Police! Call the police. It's like, arrest me. But call the police.
What's interesting too is that like, you know, there's, whenever people talk about it, everyone's always like, you know, my screen time, ugh, I'm so on it. I need to get off. I. It's a lot of I statements. Like, it's something that I'm doing. But what a lot of people don't realize, I read a book in 2022 called...
Oh my God, congratulations.
Thank you. I'm gonna... You know what, bitch? First of all,
I have to. I heard it. I was like, Ian, just say it. Like, you know, you haven't said that one in a while.
I was like, bitch, if one thing about me, I read, okay? I read you and I read books.
You do.
Okay.
Wow. Oh my God.
And we're back.
Oh my God. That's funny.
I read this book in 2022 called Stolen Focus, Why We Can't Pay Attention by Jonathan Hari. I highly recommend it. But it basically broke down why it is that we are almost forced online by big tech and corporations. So, you know, even when people drink, when people, you know, any habit formed by people that then, you know, is like, oh, I need to stop drinking. But we don't realize the implication that like society has on why we feel the way we feel. It's so simple as like when you get off, when you disconnect Facebook, but you're still getting emails that say, Ian misses you. They want to hear what you think about that is, you know, and because the more that you're online, the more you're spending money, the more you're buying. And I remember reading that in the book and be like, I don't really spend that much money online. And I'm like, wait, that's not true. Like I'll see a TikTok of like a water bottle and I'm like, oh my God, that's so cute. Amazon. I'm not buying in the app, but anyway, the more that we're engaged, the more they're making money. So they have rigged the system basically in order to keep you invested. And, you know, just like they said in Dopamine Nation, every time we get a like, we get a comment, we get a DM, we get some sort of hit. It's a dopamine hit. And we're used to getting so many of those hits daily. I want to play you a little clip from, I sent it to both of you, but I think it would be cool for the reader, for the listeners mm-hmm. to hear it. It's from this Mo News podcast. They had an author. Her name is Nero Feliciano. She has a book called This Book Won't Make You Happy, which is such a great title. But here she's basically talking about why it's so hard to focus on other things outside of social media, outside of the internet, outside of your device, because you're getting bombarded with all of these dopamine hits so that the things outside of yourself don't feel as important. Here, I'll play you the little clip. Hold on.
So when people are called to do things where they don't get that constant dopamine, they have a hard time motivating to do it. It loses their attention. Their attention spans have gotten shorter. It's harder for them to focus. So
basically, you know, there's only so much we can do. Like I can delete the app off my phone, but that doesn't mean that society changes around me. I've been off of it since the 31st, and I go out into the world and I just see everyone like this, you know, looking down. Yeah. And I'm not over here like, oh my God, poor souls. Like they don't even know how to not do a cleanse or whatever. It's kind of just like, wow, we really have shifted as a society and like how we're just completely zombified by our phones.
Mm-hmm. But I'm not doing this to play devil's advocate because I actually believe that. I love social media and I have always loved social media. And I think we are, a lot of people disagree with me. I think we are net good. I think there is more good than bad than has come of the internet. I know many people disagree, but that's for them and this is for me. I like that we are able to connect via social media. I like that people who are neurodivergent or who have extreme social anxiety get to interact with the world through Twitch or through TikTok or through mm-hmm. finding their communities. I love that about social media. So I think there's a lot of good, that is to say, but I was just say like that quote so succinctly sums up the problem is that if you are now getting positive feedback from the world, or if you've gotten positive feedback from the world for things that for which you would have not received any kind of feedback before, it gets harder and harder to make shit happen in your life. And I think it's even more poisonous when you see other people get the dopamine hits that you crave and you're like, well, why am I not getting that?
Yes.
I don't want to do shit if they're doing that.
Should I do what they're doing? Should I pose the way they're posing? Should I,
oh my God,
you know, it's
because listen, the maths here, likes, followers, likes, followers, retweets, mentions, these things do equal street cred.
Yeah.
That's it. You can say what you want. The truth is, if the likes aren't up and the follows aren't up, and that doesn't mean you're not going to be a happy person, but it is, or that you're not going to have success in this world, but it is a way for the world to assess value.
Mm. Right.
And so how are you not to assess your own personal value if that is the way the world economy, commerce, entertainment industry is assessing the value of entities too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right. If White Lotus is only getting a season 4 because of the amount of audience interaction, how are you not to think that I'm only worthy of challenging myself and pushing forward in my life if I don't get that same kind of feedback from my own circle or whatever it is? You know, it's relative.
Well, yeah. I mean, but even in that example, I would say that White Lotus didn't start off as something that was highly advertised as, you know, that's what it devolved into. So I always say, like, you know, with creators and things like that, I'm like, be you, authentically you. I mean, authentic is such a like buzzword, but you know, just be yourself and they will like build it and they will come. And then everything that happens after that, that's the thing. Like, this is a new type of fame. Like, fame is so much more accessible to so many people these days. And I think even people that had no care for fame before will somehow like get that thing. You're like, it just becomes normalized. Mm-hmm. And I feel like one of my favorite sayings is like, the internet is not the real world. It is the real world, but it is not the real world in the sense that it is not, you know, these conversations that people are having in the comments alone, the way they're talking to each other, they would not talk to each other like that if they were face to face. Some of them might, but most of them won't. And, you know, there's just a different layer of, you know, faux behavior online that does not exist in person. And, you know, you see that in, you know, I think 2016 was a great illustrator of the internet is not the real world, because we thought, you know, a lot of us thought we got this in the bag. Donald Trump will never be president. That's just not the way this country works. And in reality, outside of the internet, outside of our own little tunnel of friendships, of infographics that were just reposted by the same people that not really anyone outside of our own kind of internal biases understanding, is shown to be like, no, girl, that's not actually how it's working. And we kind of were like gooped a little bit. And, you know, I think as years go on, we're starting to learn more. You know, the internet's been like the wild, wild west. We're just learning as we go. I think, you know, there's 4.9 billion people around the world online. That's 61.4% of the global population. That's a lot of people online. And so it's just part of our world. But another book that I read that I shared in my my list of, you know, favorite things is called Digital Minimalism. And it basically talks about, you know, it's not that we need to all get offline and we need to go be Amish, you know, and forget about what we've done, but it is about using technology for its intended purpose. And you know, there's an argument to be said that the intended purpose is not to take us away from each other and put us somewhere else. It's to bring us closer together. So like, if you see your friends at a coffee shop, you know, that this was something that they said in the book, if you see your friends at a coffee shop, you know, Facebook doesn't really allow for people to like meet up and get off of the device. They want people to, you know, stay on their device. So like, you post a story and I don't know, there's just so much stuff in these books and the research and just hearing people's stories in my DMs about their connections with social media. And I think, you know, cause I did say I'm going to do a cleanse. And, you know, some friends were like, oh, you're announcing the departure. And I was like, yeah. And you know what? I used to have like issue with that. I used to be like, just go quietly into the night, girl. Nobody needs to know that you're going on a cleanse. And, you know, there's people that announce a cleanse and then they're back in a day. And, you know, but I think we need to talk more about social, like the mental health aspect of social media and like destigmatize that, like talking about it, because sometimes I think maybe this is just a me problem. And then I post something like that. I'm like, oh no, this is not just a me problem. A lot of people have this issue.
Well, because if you don't post something like that, you get, can I share something that really chafes my nipples?
Yeah.
And please, I have giant pepperoni nipples. Okay. I hate, and I hate when people say this. Hello, doctor, are you alive? I want to read it. Someone wrote it to me today, so I just want to read it exactly how it was. It was very simple. Oh, just, Juan, are you alive?
Oh.
I think it is the most condescending thing to ask someone. It's so stupid and childish. Do you care about who I am? Or are you just like, am I MIA and you've got a problem with that? Do I owe you money? I owe you money? Do I have the Wi-Fi password that you need? I don't have the Wi-Fi password. I don't got nothing that you need. So why are you asking that question? And I think that people, when you disappear from social media, if you're not present on social media and you have been, you get texts like that, like, hey, anything wrong? What's going on? Like, you know what? Yeah, I'll tell you what the fuck is wrong, bitch. My dopamine levels have been totally disturbed by social media for the past couple of years. And if I disappear for a couple of days, that's what it needs to be. So I think that, you know, sometimes in a way you preempt that by saying, hey, I'm taking a little break. Everything's good, but I'm okay. I'm not saying that that's mandatory, but you know, people have this thing where it's like, oh, you're going silent. Like, yeah, that's what I'm doing.
You know, what's interesting too, though, is I've had quite the opposite happen to me. It's like when you get offline, you realize how many people you don't speak to, how many people you don't actually,
if it weren't for
Instagram, DMs, responding to people's stories. It is the veneer of connection. And, you know, in digital minimalism, they talk about the weak tie connections. These are, you have many weak tie connections because a lot of these people, you don't know their mother's first name. You don't know where they grew up. You don't know actually anything about them, but yet you know what they post and you know, you have, that's my friend. That's my friend. That's not actually your friend. You don't even know them. And then you get offline, you say, I'm leaving, or you don't say I'm leaving. And then days go by and I'm like, holy shit, no one's texting me. You could either be like, wow, I feel so lonely, because that is part of it. But then you pick up your phone and you text, and I text you guys, which I don't usually do when I'm online, to say, how's your week going? Because I don't know how your week's going, because I'm not online, and you know, I don't know so it's like, it's this thing that I realize, wow, we are so into our stuff, our devices, that we're not actually checking. Like, you know, there was another example in the book that said wishing people a happy birthday. And it's like, well, I don't want to get offline because that's how I know people's birthday. And like, if I don't wish them a happy birthday on my story or on a status, like, they're going to be mad. And the author's like, well, text them or call them, or better yet, show up to their house if you live in the same city and bring them a gift and say, happy birthday. It's your birthday. You know, like, it's not crazy to do that. Like, I'm having a friend come over later and we're going to build Legos.
Yeah.
You know, like,
just
it's that lack of play that we don't have because we're, you know, and here's the thing, like, I don't want this to be like a bashing social media thing. Like, I wouldn't have a lot of the things that I have were it not for my usage of social media and being, but I will say there is a time to pick up the phone and there's a time to put it down. And I think, you know, even hearing friends that are like, oh yeah, I don't sleep with the phone in the room. I put that in the living room. And, you know, and I was thinking the other day, because I was making my breakfast, and my little morning routine is so special to me, like making my coffee and my breakfast. But I'm like on the phone while I'm making my coffee, and I like spill the coffee, and then I spill the, and I'm like, fuck. And instead of being like, put the phone down, wait till you finish the breakfast and the coffee, and then you can start your stories. You know, it's little things like that that I feel like if we change just little, then we'll find that our dependency changes as well.
Yeah. You know, I'm noticing right now, every time one of you says something that like I agree with or that I deeply feel, I take a deep breath and a sigh. So listeners, thank you so much for your feedback and notes about breathing, but it just means we're all listening to each other. So shut the fuck up. We're working on our audio. But I'm just noticing because like everyone fixed their breathing, and because I noticed it on myself, but everyone be very aware of it. Separate to that, I noticed today, I'm such a cunt. I just give notes. And I was like coming out of the bathroom and I think I brushed my teeth. And I realized that the phone is like a puppy. Mm-hmm. Like I grab, it's like the first thing I grab and it's going with me in every room. Mm-hmm. And I was like, what is this coming to the bathroom with me right now? Like while I'm brushing my teeth, like, and I clocked it and I just thought, wow, like that is crazy that that's where my brain's like, oh, bring that with you. Mm-hmm. And I wasn't even like sitting on the John, you know what I mean? Sitting on the John.
On and Angel. Like, I'm just kidding.
Yeah. But I and just kind of to piggyback on what you're saying, where like when I am not on the phone or I'm only using it for like, for example, last night I oh my God, what is the word when you just like, I conjured a night. That's terrible. That's not the word I really mean, but like I love that. Exactly. I conjured a night with some friends because I was listening to a podcast earlier in the week where my favorite psychotherapist, Esther Perel, talked about ways to connect more in real life with people and to get yourself out of your own head and off of the phone. Yeah. And she was like, you know, cooking with friends is a great way to commune with people because you're using your hands and you're able to really kind of talk in a way where you're not able to hold the phone. You're not able to kind of escape. And so I was like, oh, I really love that. Like, yeah, it just kind of reaffirmed why I love to cook with friends, whatever. All of this to say that we had a beautiful night and we made something. And the only reason I was using it was for like recipe purposes. And even then I was like getting annoyed with it because it was keeping me from like, it felt like I was like, no, this isn't the vibe. I wish I knew the recipe. You know, now I know and it's fine.
I had it printed. Yeah.
Or had it literally, I was like, this is why a cookbook, this is why I love, like people like, you should get a Kindle. I'm like, I know it's really only for reading and I'll be married quite contrarian on it for a little bit. And unless someone buys it for me, I am always going to just pick a book. You know what I mean? Yeah. I like the smell of it. I like the texture. I like the novelty of real things in my hand, you know what I mean? Not that a phone and things aren't real on there, but it's just so freeing. It feels kind of like, oh, like it reminds you you're a human, you know?
Yeah.
So an interesting thing. Yeah, exactly. We need reminders of being, I mean, reminders of our own humanity are around all and around. I'm just on the subway and a man took a shit in front of me today. And that reminded me that reminded you of your humanness. Yeah, but I think you are pretty good, and I don't know what you would say to this, Ian. Your ascent on social media is the kind of thing that eighth graders and ninth graders around of America are bringing into career day as a model for what they want. I hope you know that. You know, the number one job that people want, that children want under 18, I think is right now is a influencer, like successful influencer.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And you know what? Your kind of like incredible build and ascent is really the word. I hate to use it twice, but your ascent in 2020 is, you know, that's the stuff that dreams are made of, right? In this day and age. But I find that you are very good at either you're hiding it or something, but you seem to be pretty good at keeping burnout at bay. You know, I've never seen you kind of like completely spiral the way that I've seen other influencers who had your similar experience do. What would you say? Maybe that's something an observation, but what would you say are things that you've done to kind of help keep you, you know, grounded in this and have kept you sane? I'm sure there are days in which you don't feel sane, but.
Yeah. It's interesting to hear you say that because I guess maybe I guess I am really good at like kind of faking it or not, or I share moments of vulnerability in my life, but you know, my content creating journey has been really tough because for the beginning of it, it was very much spearheaded by Christopher and we made this thing together. And, you know, it really was like stuff dreams are made of. And when we broke up, all of a sudden I had to start thinking about things in a producer, writer, director hat more than I ever thought or more than I ever had to. But now there was pressure added towards it because I was making money off of it. It was this new lifeline. And I really didn't want to lose that because I was, it afforded me so many great things. It afforded me, you know, like eyes on me from some of the best agencies in the world. People like, you know, yes, the sending of gifts, but these offer you, it just was a crazy moment that you go, oh, well now I'm scared to lose that. I want to keep that. And it's not even like the praise from other people, that relevance thing I think is always going to be with us. I think that also just stems from dopamine rush, this need to want to feel like love from people and that's like a separate
to feel vital,
like exactly
an intrinsic part of people's lives.
Yeah, but to have this place be your moneymaker now all of a sudden was where I was having a hard time in that first year, just kind of like, because I didn't want to do anything. I tend to, when I feel pressure or if I feel lost and scared, I just want to like not do anything for a second. And I want to just like be around people and things that make me feel comfortable. And so I think like in these last 2 years, I'm still kind of like figuring it out. And when people bump into me, like someone came up to me at Whole Foods yesterday, a girl, and she was like, I just want to say, you know, I really love your content. And she like stood in front of me and it's so interesting. Cause I'm like, are you saying more than I think you are? But she really honored looking at me and she was like, and so I just like, please continue like doing what you do. And every time someone says that to me, I'm always just like, what is the content I'm even making? Because I do really feel, and I'm comparing myself because that's just what you do. If I was Martin Scorsese, I'd be like, well, you know, these other directors do this, and this is what I do. So these other content creators that I think are putting way more effort than I am, have an idea, they go after it. They just have a little bit more of a specific, this is what I'm selling. And I don't really know what that is about me. I don't know what I'm selling. That's why sometimes it's so much easier to have someone tell me what to do because I can do that great. This is the idea. This is the vibe. What do you think? And then like, I can create that with someone and doing it by myself is really fucking hard. And I don't love doing it by myself. It feels like I have to do it because it's a job now. And wow, I'm really ranting, but it's
we were not meant to be production studios necessarily, you know, these independent, you know, every single person is Harpo Productions. So, you know, it's a lot to ask. I mean, to use this thing, not only to connect with friends and then to use it the way, you know, there was a way that you used it before when you were just like, on Broadway, right? Where you're using it kind of just for marketing of Ian Paltrow. Like it was a marketing tool, like a headshot. And then to go from it to that, to be like a business and a major player in the internet culture and, you know, economics of TikTok is a big, big difference. So, you know, that changes the way you interact with something. Of course, that pressure can be very isolating. I, you know, it's what I talked about earlier. I felt that to be very paralyzing. But I do find that even with that amount of pressure, you know, you may not feel that way, but you handled it with quite a bit of grace. You really have. Of course,
thank
it's
you.
Scary oh, to have
very
to
sweet.
Not, you know, to not have the creative juggernaut next to you. Ahí dándole. Next one, next video.
Yeah.
You know, so it's hard to do that alone, but I think you've avoided, you know, the kind of burnout that I've heard of from other creators.
I would say, you know, I think the important thing, whether you're a creator or you're just a human being that uses the internet, I think it's important to, I think what I've noticed is when I've taken my cleanses before, like there was once, I think in 2022, I took a January off. And when I posted pictures, when I came back, I said like, the caption was like a month for me. And I always go back to that post because I love the photographs in that post. And like, they're not really important pictures. I just remember when I took those pictures, I remember being completely present in that moment and just wanting to capture that one specific moment. And I can feel that time when I was in those moments. But because when you get back on and everything becomes a moment, every walk, we think that we have to come up with these moments. And it's like the moments will present themselves. You just have to allow them. But when we're constantly thinking of moments, when we're constantly thinking of the stories we're posting from the concert and the thing and the coffee and the thing, we're our moments are all over the place. So we don't actually remember the experience. Like, and the same thing, you know, for Ian, I would say, you know, I say this to myself all the time. When stand-up comedians, when playwrights, when artists create things, they're not creating the first joke that comes to mind. They're hearing that joke and they're sussing that joke out. They're keep playing that joke until the joke is what they want. And I think sometimes because there's monetary things that come with, you know, being a creator, you know, sometimes we do things off the cuff. I remember when I used to do my Julissa videos, I used to set up the camera and just go, 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 go. But the more I made money, the more following I had, the more I thought about, okay, wait, is that as funny as it? I didn't think that before because I was kind of just shooting in the dark. But as time goes on, you get a little more precious about like what it is. So
yeah,
I think taking time to really experience things, to go on that walk that you go on, to experience the High Line, and maybe, you know, you want to make a video about it, but you don't make the video that day. Maybe you take a couple more walks on the High Line. Maybe you experience a little bit more of the architecture and the people and the kind of people you see on it. And that becomes your little Nora Ephron short film. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, yes. I think we're so used to jumping the gun to like responding to the sexy man that we see. And it's like, hold back a little bit.
Yeah. I could use a little bit of that. You know,
content creation and just being living online is a lot of work, which is why I think taking a cleanse is so helpful, because you get to do the life IRL, which is also a lot of work, you know?
Yeah.
Living in the year 2024, you know, in Joe Biden's America is not exactly a piece of cake either. I'm not shading Joe Biden. It's just whoever's president is there in America.
It's never been a piece of cake. Like the like your grandmother said, the world's always been shit. But when you have another looking glass into how much more the world is shit outside of your own sphere. Yeah. So I'm doing my cleanse. We'll see how it goes. And I would hope that people would take the moment. And this is not me saying like everyone needs to get off the internet. I mean, I think it would be a luxurious thing if we all could. But I do think that it's good to take moments like when people do Dry January, when people do, you know, a cleanse for their body. I think it's nice to learn things about yourself when you step away from noise a little bit. And, you know, whether it's good or bad.
Yeah.
One action item I'm going to take from you, Johnny, is to really select one app to kind of do for the rest of the month. So I know I'm starting in the middle of the month, but I'm going to think I'll do with Instagram and just only use it when I absolutely need to, like if I have to do so for work or something like that. Because otherwise, I think doing all of them is too much of it's too much of a vacuum for me to fill. So I think if I do that, that's a great tip. Do the one that is the most toxic, or not the most toxic to you, or the one that's just taking the most time, or the one you deem that needs the most control.
And
not use it at the gym, for example, while you're working out. That's a good example.
I was literally just about to say, I would love for all gyms to have this machine that's like somehow a part in the building that when you walk in, all that you can use on your phone is like a gym app. Like it deactivates like Instagram because yesterday it happens all the time, but like these people and I've done it too sometimes, but right now I'm following so kind of like rigorously this plan with Aaron Erzo. And so like when I use his thing and Johnny's been an inspiration, trainer? Like I'm just trying not to be on Instagram while I'm working out. And
sorry, say that again.
I'm saying like you've been such an inspiration that I'm not you. Oh,
cut my God. And copy.
Oh my God.
Episode title.
No. You know what I've been doing? Because I don't like when people are on their devices like between sets. So I got this little notebook that's like as big as this little thing right here. It's like a steno pad or whatever. I have been, before I go to the gym, I have been writing out my workout, like what I'm going to do.
Okay.
And I take my little pad and my pen and I do my exercise, and then I put how much weight I use for how many sets, reps. Okay, I put it down. I do and then I go back and I pick it up and I write down the next weight. One, because it's a great way to focus on my progress in the gym to not to be like, wait, what was I lifting last week? I can look at my little pad and know, but also it gives me something to do during my rest periods so that I'm not picking up the phone and be like, oh, who texted me? I also put my phone on do not disturb because I want to listen to my music and do my thing, but I don't want to be on my device because that turns a minute rest into 2 minutes, 3 minutes when you could be writing down your progress or whatnot. So I think little things like that affect change. And I think, you know, nothing. I've been also reading this other book called This Naked Mind about alcohol. And, you know, it's basically about how alcohol is a poison to us and that society has taught us that it is, you know, we're basically drinking gasoline. But I kept, when I was listening to the book, I kept replacing alcohol with social media or with, you know, another substance or anything. And I was like, wow, there's just so many things that we could be changing it, like little by little, that we don't realize would have a bigger impact on our mental health, on our physical health, you know?
Yeah.
So anyway, I just think it's a great time to try things, especially at the beginning of the year.
I stopped using my Apple Watch. And I know everyone's like, you can change the, you know, do not disturb, and so you don't get any notifications, but it became this place where all it really is a notifications thing, or like, what is the weather? And I'm like, I can just do that on the phone. Like, and I just wanted to kind of like cut out that thing. And it's been really nice actually for my mental health. And I would also suggest to people, because I have to do it literally right now, but I turned on notifications for Instagram to like see the banner. So like if I'm doing something else, it's on the top of your phone, it'll show you when like a reply or a this or a happens on your reel. And I think probably because I wanted to see if like, you know, someone was going to respond to me at the right time, or like I was. And that has actually been not a good idea. So if you do have that on, guys, I think turning that off is helpful.
Yeah.
So that when you know you're going to check it anyway, you might as well just wait to have a better dopamine rush and be like, oh yeah, I don't know what's waiting for me. You know what I mean? Right. And it also just helps you not feel like you have to always constantly check it, would be a really good idea. And there's something you said, Johnny, that I wanted to touch on. But either way, like
streamlining notifications is a great idea. It's a great idea.
Yeah. Yeah.
So much.
Sure. It really is.
Tips and tricks with the Trace Late Chase.
Yes. Yes. it's the bounty of that. I'm really gonna try to do this. I'm going to try to buckle down and see what I can get out in this, you know, just so that February can feel like I gave it my all for the rest of January. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So that the rest of the year can feel like that. Because we just make up these dates anyway, these New Year's and calendars. It's all just connected to the sun and the moon and the stars. So, so we just got to make, we have to make religion of it.
I would say if you're listening and you have wanted to maybe get offline, but you feel like you're going to miss something, it's okay to miss things. And, you know, even when I was offline, I knew Ian was in Nicaragua or he had gotten back from his trip. And I asked him, send me some pictures from your trip. I want to see how it went. You can do that. You can text people. You can call them. You can FaceTime people to be like, hey, how are you doing? And you know what I notice is that when I'm offline, when I see people that I know in person, I don't avoid. People that are not like friends, but like people that I know, I don't avoid. Instead, I go towards the interaction and I'm like, oh my God, how are you? Because I'm not interacting consistently, constantly every day with other people. So when I see someone I know, I'm like, oh my God, Fulana, how are you, babe? And they're and they, because they're like on their device, they're like, oh, hey, I'm good. Yeah. And I'm like, oh, they're having that moment that I've had so many times where you're just like, I can't take another interaction right now. And I would say, like, when you turn off the noise on one thing, you'll see how you open up space to hear so much more noise in the real world.
So I love that. That is such a really, I just really see that interaction and it makes total
you know exactly
sense.
What I'm talking
I
about.
I know what you mean. And I haven't really ever thought about the way that clock ticks and how that works, but you're right. There's this way that we're inundated because of the phone and we're seeing so much that it's almost like, well, I'm experiencing a lot here. So like, I don't really need to actually engage with you, but it's not even so deliberate. It's like you're saying, it's this knee jerk kind of.
Yeah, it's just the way we,
it's the way we are.
That's interesting.
That's all it is.
And I would invite us to talk about it. Sorry, one last thing.
I just thought of it.
But I would invite us all to talk more about how social media affects us, how it impacts our lives. How social media impacts us, and you know, how we deal with it day to day. Because the more we talk about it, the more we destigmatize this idea that everyone's like everything's okay, because not everything is okay. And you know, it's, I think it's important, if you want to get offline and you need to say something about it, it's okay. If people think you're crazy, most of these people don't matter to your everyday life anyway, you know. Mm-hmm. And we're going to share clips from this episode on social media, because that's the intended purpose, is to connect and to bring people into the pod, to get off their phone, to listen, you know, while they're cooking or, you know, running or walking the dog, I don't know. So let's try and use it for its intended purpose and not allow it to take over us.
And that's on Mary Had a Little Lamb, and that's on Facebook, on markzuckerberg.com.edu. When we come back, we have a very special spilled milk. Be right back. And we're back. Okay, so this week's spilled milk, it's not gossip. It's not a question from the masses. It's a spotlight. We want to throw some flowers at our girl. Ian, take it away.
Oh my God. So it's kind of fitting, Johnny, when you took that one little day off to come back to social media to shine some light on this person, Miss Trace Lissette, who is, like you said, getting her due, give her flowers. And I just thought, like, you know, what a better way to share someone's success that's happening in a way that feels so well deserved, and that she's one of your best friends. Yeah. So like, you must be so proud, as like, you know, you guys were in acting class together and all the things.
Well, one thing about Tracy said, she, you know, it's award season. It's further outside of my best friendship with her. You know, I'm always been a very big advocate for, queer artists getting their due. Trace is in a movie that has been out this year. It's called Monica. It went to the Venice Film Festival last year, 2022. She got an 11.5-minute standing ovation that I was there for. She was the first trans woman to lead a film in the history of the 82-year film festival in Venice.
Wow.
Huge moment. She's been getting nothing but critical acclaim for her role. I will say there has been a lack of coverage that the larger media conglomerates have been doing, but all of that is, you know, it's money based. Hollywood is a machine. People spend like $500,000 on Oscar campaigns this year. But one thing that has been so heartening to see is the community rise up and meet Trace to support her and this film, especially the LGBTQ plus community. I think it's important to recognize her. She's been on so many shows. She's been in movies with Jennifer Lopez from Hustlers. She's been in Transparent. She's been on so many different shows. And she was one of the first girls to come and pop up on the screen to give way for the rest of the girls and boys and non-binary family to have these characters. So she's not loud. She doesn't talk about how important she is to this community. But I'm here to tell you that Miss Trace Lissette has earned her flowers over these past years and years and years of buckling down, auditioning, and not saying a damn word. And guess what? One thing about Trace that you will never take away from her is that she will always speak truth to power when it comes to other people, even if it is not popular, it is not favorable. So I want to say here today on Tres Leches, in this spilled milk session, this is dedicated to Trace Lissette. Thank you so much, sis, for all that you do. Thank you for providing a space for your art, for your story, for your livelihood to be part of our mutual growth. So thank you. Go watch Monica if you've not. Go vote for Monica. Go vote for Trace in every capacity. She is nominated for a Spirit Award for leading actor. And, you know, because they have like a big, they've degendered the category. So she's up against everybody this year. So I'm just so happy for her. And, you know, hopefully she wins. But anyway, shout out to Trace Lissette. Thank you. We love you.
We love you so much. And the beauty. is unmatched. And doing it all looking like that. Honey, you love me crazy. Love you. Okay, well, this has been such a wonderful Gilded Age.
2024, we are back and ready to go.
Yeah, right, we love you so much. We'll see you next week. Yes, exactly. You should play with that imaginary hair. We love you all. We'll see you next week. Thank you for joining us.
Bye-bye.